अभिच्छत्सुदराचारो भजते मामनन्यभा साधुरेव समन्तव्य सम्यक् व्यवसितो हि स.
Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. So, this is a famous verse. Abhichet means that usually devotees never perform abominable activities. But even if they were to do so, right, then I still accept them as a sadhu. I don't reject them. I still accept them in my heart as a sadhu. So this apichet, you'll see that in the fourth chapter also, that even if someone in the boat of... that he commits a sin, that means that generally people who have gyan, they don't commit sins. The devotees also, they don't commit sins. Now, if they do commit sin, Krishna still accepts that person as a devotee, as a sadhu. And he wants everyone else to. Sadhu eva. He's not just a partial sadhu. He's complete sadhu. Sadhu eva, certainly. There's no doubt. Sadhu eva samantavya. So what is the qualification? Bhajate mam ananyabha. That he's a real ananya bhakta, a sadhu. So there's three things it means at least. That he worships only me, no devatas, nothing else, no Brahma Jyoti. Number two, he does only bhakti to me, no karma, gyan or yoga mixed in. And number three, he desires only to attain me. He doesn't desire happiness, attaining a kingdom, or swarga, or something less. He just has the desire to attain me. So these three things describe what is this ananya bhakti. Because someone might ask, well, what type of bhajan does the... You say bhajate mam. So what type of bhajan does this person... Must such a person do in order to obtain such facility or reciprocation from the Lord? So this is described. And this is both in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary and Bhaktivinoda Thakur's. They both say the same thing. And even if they do sudurachara, very evil, abominable activity. It's like Chaitanya Charan said the other day. He said that there was one preacher and he performed abominable activities, horrible. People in India would feel, right? This is horrendous. Even that kind of activity. If the person actually is has those qualifications, he's doing this kind of bhajan, ananya bhak, then even that kind of person, because it means someone who kills others, right? This is what sudurachara, someone who is a murderer, right? Somebody who has illicit sex with other people's wives, or whatever, illicit sex with women. And what's the other thing? And he's stealing other people's wealth. I didn't write all these things. Oh yeah, there it is. Yeah, he's taking other people's wealth. He's a thief, a rogue, debauchee, right? And he could be a killer, murderer. It's a horrible thing. So durachar means bad behavior. Sudur means very bad. Prabhupada writes, in the Bhagavatam, it is stated, this is toward the, in the first paragraph at the end, it is stated that if a person falls down, but is wholly engaged in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, the Lord, being situated in his heart, purifies him and excuses him of that abomination. This is in the Bhagavatam. Svapada mulam bhajata priyasya chakpanya bhavasya hari paresha vikarma yo chotpatitam katachit dunoti sarvam ridisani vishta Right? So Vidoti Sarvam, he purifies everything because he's Riddhi Sannivishta in the heart. If the devotee is actually worshipping him, bhajata priyasya, that the Lord is dear to him, then even though he performs vikarmic activities, then the Lord purifies everything, vidinoti sarvam, riddhi sannivishta. Huh? I don't see 11th canto, I think it is. I didn't write down the number. I think it's the 11th canto. Bhajata priyasya. Let me finish. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, my attachment for my bhaktas is natural. And even if his behavior is degraded, my attachment for him is not lost. And I make him supremely righteous. So his good behavior may be lost, but my attachment for him is never lost. If he's really my devotee. Just see how Krishna loves his devotees so much. But now we have to look at the practical aspects, because here Prabhupada writes twice occasional fall down. And on one page, seven times he writes accidental fall down. The word accidental is found seven times in this commentary to make sure you know, that you don't get the wrong idea, that a devotee can just be a debauchee and then he can claim, you know, that he's Krishna's devotee and that you should accept me as a sadhu. Because Krishna says sadhu eva samanta. And then go around in the name of this verse performing sinful activities. So Prabhupada writes seven times in the commentary the word accident or accidentally. And he quotes this Nisringa Purana verse. He says that, yes, these abominable activities are considered to be like spots on the moon. The spots are not an impediment to the moonlight, because the moon itself is so effulgent and soothing. Oh, there's a few spots, but that can be tolerated. So a devotee may perform some accidental abominable act. So there may be a fall down, but it's accidental. In that case, it's a kind of occasional thing, not a continuous thing. Then the person is quickly reinstated and purified, and then he is to be accepted as a pure devotee. Just like we saw, there was a prostitute. Haridas Thakur purified her, and she became a sadvi, and she was just chanting the holy name by the Tulsi tree in her kutir, and that's all she did. And gradually people in the area began to realize, you know, her level of piety, and they began to come and make offerings to her, and that's how she lived. She didn't actually have any occupation. She lived completely on the mercy of the local village people who came and offered her different. But she was a prostitute before. So Prabhupada writes, the only qualification of a devotee is to be unflinchingly and exclusively engaged in devotional service. That's right before the Nisringa Purana verse. Now, Prabhupada has translated Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary in the first part of his commentary. It's exactly the same. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes there's two kinds of activities, sambandhika and sarupgata, or constitutional, or conditional and constitutional activities. And these, Prabhupada writes that these are, often go parallel, and sometimes they contradict or oppose one another. So due to the strength of the power of the material energy, sometimes a devotee may actually be overcome, and he may, by his constituted by his conditional activities and his previous habits and perhaps from a low birth. But gradually, because he has his sight set, his goal is set for Krishna, so just by the fact that he's continuing his bhajan, then all of those things will be rectified, and he'll come to the level where he will be no longer influenced by his conditional nature, the sambandhika activities. Then finally, at the end, Prabhupada says that no one should take advantage of this verse and commit nonsense and think that he's still a devotee. If he does not improve in his character by the devotional service, then it's to be understood that he is not a high devotee. He's not a kevala bhakta, but it means he's some kind of mixed, weak bhakta. Because if one's doing kevala bhakti, then Krishna will, promote him, purify and rectify his situation. But if he's not doing kevala bhakti, if he has some other desires and other goals and he's worshiping other devatas, and he's mixing karma in and this and that, then the same result will not come. Then the person may fall down many, many times, come back, go out. We see it in ISKCON also. Some devotees, they leave, then after a few months they come back, then they leave, then they come back, they leave, they come back for 5-10 years. And gradually, finally, after a long time, they may come up to, after suffering like hell for so long, then they may come to the realization that this is a waste of time, now nothing else. Then when they come to that kaval understanding, then Krishna kind of uplifts them, because Krishna is waiting for us to come to that level when we are convinced that only Krishna. Okay, there may be so many other things attacking me, but I push them away. My goal is to love Krishna. And I don't have any other desires to go here or there through my bhakti. Yes?
I just wanted to know the difference between accidental fall down and plan.
Plan fall down? Good question. Yeah. Well, there's always going to be some kind of thought. Otherwise, fall down won't come. But, in other words, a person may be struggling with his mind and senses, and then somehow he may just be put in a situation where he's alone with a woman or something like this, or, some of his old friends come up with some marijuana, and he just can't control himself, and he just... You know what I mean? The woman comes up and she's attracted to him. So, and just because he's feeling weak at that time, and it may just suddenly come. Not that there's like a whole premeditative plan, oh, I'm going to go and meet this woman, I got her phone number now, and da 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 da. But it just, some kind of circumstance which may happen, a person's in a hotel or, whatever, taking a train or whatever, and suddenly, boom. And then later he feels very bad, oh, I did this, I performed this sinful activity. And then he laments again and again and again. And that's described in the next verse, how he thinks he becomes purified. So the... there may be accidental fall downs. It's not that every fall down is premeditated. Huh? Yeah, Ajamil could be considered accidental too. He wasn't going out to the parks to look, for men and women embracing, like you could do now, right? Probably he never even expected to see such a thing. Because I would imagine at that time it was quite rare. Because they're embracing, the woman's breasts were visible to him. That's rare. That's like, I don't know when this took place, but it was a long time ago. We have any references to this? This is in Dwarpa Yuga or... Satya Yuga. Satya Yuga, Hare. Wow. It's in Satya Yuga. Yeah, imagine how rare it was. So now, you know, nowadays, every day you can see such a thing. If you go to some park, especially in the Western countries. So, yeah, he was definitely a victim of this accidental fall down. Yeah, so, anyway, sadhu sabdan. Be careful. Yeah. Well, from what we've read, it seems that service has to continue. So if the chanting stops and the service stops, then there's no Ananya Bhak, as far as I can see. I mean, Prabhupada says that the only qualification is to be unflinchingly and exclusively engaged. So if there's some break, then it's not the same. It's not that Krishna will totally reject or condemn that person. He can try again. But there may be some, you know, reaction for his sinful acts. If he stops doing bhakti, then he's going to get some reaction for his sinful activities. And he's not protected, you know, because he's not performing bhakti. But when he comes back, then he can be rectified again. He can come up, but it's like it's not as easy, you know, because he's not unflinchingly engaged. He has to struggle. It's kind of like, you know, driving the car up the hill again, and it's difficult for that. The devotees, we don't really realize it, but we have a kind of momentum behind us. You know, year after year, you're doing seva without breaking and without falling down, and we have a kind of, you know, like a jet has this kind of jet stream. We're in a kind of jet stream. And we don't realize it until if we leave this place and just stop doing everything, then you'll feel this, you know, your consciousness will go really down, and you'll feel this horrible feelings, you know. We don't realize how we're getting this booster energy from our tailwind, you know. We're being pushed forward on the spiritual path. But we leave that, then it's very difficult. So then you go all the way down and crash. Then to get the airplane back up to 10,000 meters, it's not so easy. You need a lot of booster power. That means you have to put in a lot of energy back to get back up to that level. But once you're on that level, then you just, a little bit of energy, you're going very fast because you're on a high level. Well, we can't really say that just because it's so horrible that he must stop chanting, or he'll stop doing his puja or whatever. Just like Bilva Mangal Thakur, he was also performing abominable activities, but his bhajan continued. He was worshipping Krishna. That's if he keeps chanting and doing, if he's connected. So if the person has this desire that no matter what happens, even if everyone criticizes me, even if I have to go to hell, I'll never stop my chanting, I'll never stop my service to Krishna, I'll never stop praying to Krishna and desiring to love and serve him. That is the kind of resolution that is meant by this Ananya Bhakti. When that's there, then, you know, he doesn't crash. There is the dip, and then, but Krishna sends him up. And that's mentioned in the next verse. It's like, kshipram bhavati dharmatma. Say it very quickly. So bhavati is in the present tense. And nigacchati is in the present tense. He obtains righteousness. Right? Because it's not that, yeah, gradually he becomes righteous. Very quickly. Kshipram, that means quickly. And the acharyas say that in the present tense, that he attains this very quickly. It's not that, yeah, after some time. So Krishna immediately puts him back. And the person has this kind of mentality, Krishna immediately rectifies him. No, but sometimes they give up their resolution, their resolve to continue their bhajan. Some they stop chanting the Gayatri mantras, some stop chanting the japa, some they never read anymore, they don't come to the temple, because they become affected psychologically. And they feel guilty, and there's like a very kind of unhealthy kind of guilt. And that freezes them, you know, it kind of grips them. There's a paralysis, you know, in their spiritual life. It's also described in the 11th canto. The person may become too morose because of a fall down. And therefore Krishna says that he should continue to worship me happily and not give up the process out of moroseness, because he can become feeling too guilty. He can be overwhelmed by this feeling. And that's like Maya's trick. Yeah, you can't become a devotee. Why even bother? Just see, it's so difficult. You fell down and everyone will know it, and just forget about this. You know, Maya's trick like that. But the other person doesn't have the he gave up the resolve. He didn't have this ananya bhakti temporarily, but still. When he gets that resolution again, then he comes back. And then he can be reinstated. But when he leaves that resolve, then that's different. Then it's not the same case here. That's just explained in all the commentators. His fall down was accidental, but his resolve was not as ananya bhakti. Yeah, when he saw the Vishnu and the Yamadutas, then he became determined again. Yeah. I don't know, I can't say in that case. Well, maybe it's not ours to judge. Let Krishna be the judge, you know. We should just make sure that we're not planning, you know. Let Krishna be the judge. We're not in such a position. Well, if it's a siddha, he won't fall down. So it must be a sadhaka, but he must be a kevala bhakta. He must be doing uttam bhakti. So it must be a sadhaka. Okay, next verse. Kripram bhavati dharmatma shachvach chantim nigacchati kaunteya pratyajanihi name bhakta pranashati. He quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace, O son of Kunti. Declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. The Prabhupada says that, the Bhatladeva Nibhushan mentions that the word Kaunteya is here. Because he was born in a pious, cultured family, royal family, therefore he should make the proper decisions in the face of difficulty. I'll read the commentary. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on this verse. He says, such an irreligious man. I'll read from 30, actually. 30 is a little bit, and then 31. Arjuna says, all right, I accept that he's a sadhu when he's worshipping. But if he's doing nonsense, then he's not a sadhu. Krishna replies, no, in every regard he's a sadhu, because he's properly resolved to serve me. He's thinking that, and I'm able to give up the sinful activity, and I'll probably go to hell, but I'll never give up devotional service to Krishna. Because of this determination, Krishna keeps him as a sadhu. Such an irreligious man who's rendering service, how do you accept his offerings? His heart is polluted with lust, anger, and greed, and his offerings are contaminated by these things. Krishna replies, very quickly he becomes righteous and I accept him. So Krishna does not use the future tense, but the present tense. Because he laments, remembering me again and again. And because of lamentation, his heart burns, and he thinks, alas, alas, there is no other devotee lower than me. I am a black spot for devotees. And again he curses himself. Krishna continues, or you can take it in this way. Such a person, even when Durachar, his righteousness existed in him in a subtle form. He's taking the medicine of devotion, although the fever remains, he doesn't fear. He knows the fever of improper activities will go away by the power of devotion. The improper activities are like snakes with the fangs removed, and he obtains eternal peace, for his lust will go away and never return. Arjuna says, I understand that you're saying that he'll become Dharmatma. There's no dispute. But if he remains Durachari and does abominable activities throughout his life up to his death, do we still consider him a sadhu during his life? Krishna becomes angry and his eyes become enlarged. He says, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. Even if he dies, he doesn't go down. So when Krishna said this, Arjuna was a little bewildered. And he put his head in his hand. He became worried. He said, how? These people will not understand it. They won't agree to this. And Krishna said, you take mrdangas and kartels, and you go where they are doubting the power of bhakti, and you bang everything loudly, and you raise both hands in the air, and you take a vow. You say the Lord's devotees will, even if properly behaving, they'll never perish. And Arjuna says, but what will happen? And Krishna says, when you speak like this, all the people will fall at your feet and say, oh Arjuna, you are my guru. But then Vishwanath Chakravarti asks, but why is Krishna himself not taking this oath? Later in the 18th chapter, he takes this vow himself. But why does he not take it here? So the Lord, before speaking, thought for a moment. At that moment, he said, I like my devotees very much, and I can't tolerate any insults put on them. I always protect my devotees. And on this battlefield, I'll have to break my own vow when Arjuna is fighting with Bhishma. And people will only know the Bhagavad Gita after the battlefield. And they'll say, oh, he spoke so many words, but he broke them all. However, they'll know that Arjuna's words are like lines etched on a stone. Therefore, Krishna thought, Arjuna should say this, make this vow, not me. So this is why the devotee should surrender to Krishna, because Krishna is so kind and merciful to his devotees in so many ways. And he's a personal God, and he takes a personal interest in his devotees. So this is the special facility and the special quality of Ananya Bhakti, that it drives Krishna to act in such a way to protect and rectify his devotee. But the other people in the other yogas, the yajnanis and yogis, they don't get this kind of facility where they can be quickly rectified because of their mood of love. Once they break, they fall down, then they lose. they crash. So this is Krishna's supreme Parama Aishwarya, supreme opulence, that his Bhakta Vatsal. He's very, very kind to his devotees. But we never hear that he's Jnani Vatsal or Yogi Vatsal. It's only devotee, only to the devotee. He's so merciful and kind. Can you bring me my yellow notebook? I wanted to read something also. Huh? Is it here? You know, it has that yellow clear plastic? It should be on the little bed there. So Prabhupada ends the commentary. Therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, should be continued without stoppage. This will protect a devotee from all accidental fall downs. He will thus remain perpetually free from all material contaminations. Text 32. Mamhi partavya pashritya yepi supapa yonaya striyo vayashas tata shudras te piyanti param gatim. O son of Pritha, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas, and shudras, can attain the supreme destination. Prabhupada writes, it is clearly declared here by the Supreme Lord that in devotional service there is no distinction between the lower and higher class of people. And Prabhupada quotes the famous verse from the second canto, Kirata honandra pulinda pulkasha abhira shumba yavana kasaraya yen yesh papa yada pashrashaya shudyanti tasmai prabhavishyave namaha. That all classes of people, chandals, malachas, the yavanas, kirata, hunas, undra, pulinda, right? They're all kasares. They can all be purified by the practice of devotional service. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes this verse, Ahobhata Swapacho Togarayan Yad Jivagre Vartate Namatubhyam. Those who are chanting the holy name, they are to be considered to have performed all the Vedic sacrifices and gone to the holy places, studied the Vedas, and performed so many austerities in their past lives. So this, he comments, that is also true of prostitutes, women, vaishyas, shudras, and all different kinds of people. Even if they're impure and tell lies and so forth, they can all be purified by the practice of bhakti. So, the low-class people, but they have to vyapashritya, like seriously take shelter of Krishna. Prabhupada writes, this is possible only when one takes shelter of Krishna, as indicated by the word vyapashritya. One has to take shelter completely of Krishna. Then one can become much greater than jnanis and yogis. Vyapashritya. Fully. So all people from lower births, they're not to be considered as different. When they actually surrender to the Lord, then they transcend their lower births. Just like you can imagine, right? I don't want to shock you, but if somebody said something, Radhanath Swami is born in a Malecha family, right? I mean, just hearing those words would make you, how does your heart feel, right? Now, that's how Krishna feels. If someone says that his devotee is from Chandal or from a certain family, right? That's how Krishna feels. He feels insulted. It's very painful for Krishna. So the devotees have to be careful not to judge other devotees. So they may be from different places, different countries, different classes, right? Some of you from high Brahmin families, others from lower castes. But these things are just kind of washed away by the practice of bhakti. Because Krishna is Bhavagrahi Janardana, so he doesn't make any distinction between different class of people. So devotion is so purifying that it's being glorified here and throughout this chapter. So Krishna said in the previous verse to declare my devotee never perishes. So in this verse, he's continuing his declaration. So those who are papayonaya, it's natural to perform impious activities. But if they get the association of my devotees, and if they take shelter, then I give them shelter. They can all attain the supreme destination. Next verse. Kim puna brahmana punya bhakta raja shayastata anityam masukam lokam imam prapya bhajasvama. How much more this is so of the righteous brahmanas, the devotees, and the saintly kings. Therefore, having come to this temporary miserable world, engage in loving service unto me. So Kim Purna means like, and what to speak of the Brahmins, the pious devotees, and the Raja Rishis. So if the sinful can attain the supreme destination, having taken shelter of Krishna, then what to speak of the more elevated people who are more pious. So Prabhupada says that it is clearly stated here, anityam asukam lokam. This world is temporary and full of miseries, not habitable for any sane gentleman. So that's from his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. It's not habitable for any sane gentleman. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur had written that some philosophers say that this world is false, but here this is negated. So Prabhupada also mentioned this in his commentary. He says, especially Mayavadi philosophers say that this world is false, but we can understand from Bhagavad Gita that the world is not false, it is temporary. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this verse refutes this Mayavadi idea. And it's also mentioned that Arjuna was from a royal family. He was a Raja Rishi. So actually Krishna is referring to him by saying this, Raja Rishi. Bhakta Raja Shayastata. And then he says, so having attained birth in this temporary miserable world, Vajasvamam, you worship me. And it's a direct order to Arjuna. Means fighting is your worship. Prabhupada comments, Arjuna was born in the saintly royal family. To him also the Lord says, take to my devotional service and come quickly back to Godhead, back home. So, bhajasvamam means worship me. You should worship me. But then how to do it? In the next verse, Krishna describes. And this is the last verse of this chapter. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam vaishasi yogpai mam atmanam matparayanaha. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee, offer obeisances to me and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. So please note the word mam appears 6 times in this verse. So Krishna is stressing how to do that worship. He said, bhajasvamam, worship me. So now you think of me, you become my devotee, you worship me, you offer your obeisances to me, and then you will come to me having taken shelter of me. So Baladeva Vidyabhushan writes, Krishna explains the pure devotion to Arjuna, which was desired by Arjuna. The servant of the king renders service to the king, but his mind is on his wife, home, and children. That is not a symptom of devotion. So much service may come, But the mind is the key and the test. The mind must be fixed on the object of service. Don't become like that, Krishna says. Fix your mind on me and become my devotee. Fixed mind on Krishna is like honey flowing from the bottle without a break. The thinking should be natural with nothing in between. Then do worship of me, and then with love pay obeisances to me. Fix the Atma, mind, body and soul all on me and become Matparayana, my devotee. First surrender and then work for me. Devotional service which doesn't consider qualified or unqualified is considered in this chapter, he says. That's Baladeva Vidyabhushan. So Krishna, in this chapter, which is the most confidential knowledge, Rajaguhya Yoga, it's called, Krishna speaks it because Arjuna is not envious. He has the qualities to hear Krishna's Aishwarya Gyan. He has faith and he has an open heart. He's generous. So Krishna explains his opulences, and these opulences brings out love. So Krishna's heart becomes soaked with love and compassion for Arjuna. He begins to explain his achintya, veda-veda, shakti, his inconceivable energies. So also throughout this chapter, we see that Krishna, Krishna is stressing now how to become the Ananya Bhakta. And throughout the chapter, we mentioned the first three verses describe certain qualifications to hear and how to hear this knowledge, how to become a pure devotee. And then we hear Krishna's Aishwarya Gyan. And then in the middle section, we see Krishna's like comparing, you know, the different kinds of devotees. Aren't the Ahangraha Upasakas, the Pratika Upasakas, the Visharupa Upasakas, and how they have different desires and they have different intentions, and how the pure devotee, he's taken care of by Krishna just by focusing his mind on Krishna, and the other people, they have to do so many other things and they still don't attain the same result. And how simple it is that the devotee just has to offer a leaf, a flower. And if he fixes his mind on Krishna and has this determination, even he may fall down and not only make a mistake, but make some abominable mistake, and still Krishna rectifies that person. And now sinful people can do this, and the righteous people. And simply one has to fix his mind on Krishna and devote his heart and soul to Krishna, then Krishna guarantees this person will come to me. So Krishna very clearly shows how that, he mentions all of these other kinds of people to show what is their fault and to show how it's much better to be a pure devotee. So all the different levels are described. That's why, I mean, yeah, it's a little confusing that Krishna goes through this whole description of the various kinds of devotees. But we can see that one who fixes his mind on Krishna in pure devotion, that he's the best. So Prabhupada says here that the 7th and 8th chapters of the Gita have explained pure devotional service to the Lord that is free from karma, jnana, and yoga. Yeah, he said, Maya sakta mana partha yogam yujan manashraya. Your mind will become fixed on me. And then at the end he said, if one sees me, sari bhutat didayavamam sari yagya chayevidu prayani kalipichamam tevidu rikta chedasa. One who knows me as the governing principle of these things, he can come to me. And then he said, ananya chetasadatam yomam smarati nityasa. In this tasyaham sulabha partha, he very quickly comes to, very easily comes to me, if he does Ananya Bhakti. And then in chapter 9 we mentioned there's so many verses where Krishna describes pure devotion. Satitam kirtamantamam patram pushpam palam tayam thanks. Ananya chintayantama. So many verses. Krishna's pointing. This is pure devotion. This is pure devotion. This is how you become my ananya bhakta. And these other people, they do like this and do like that, but they should just worship me directly, become my pure devotee. Those who are not purely sanctified may be attracted by different features of the Lord, like in personal Brahma Jyoti or a Paramatma, but a pure devotee directly takes to the service of the Supreme Lord. And the last paragraph. The devotee in the beginning may sometimes fall from the standard, but still he should be considered superior to all other philosophers and yogis. One who always engages in Krishna consciousness should be understood to be a perfectly saintly person. His accidental non-devotional activities will diminish, right? Just like the fever. You have a fever, you take medicine, the fever will remain for a little time more, but you know that it will go away if you have a good doctor and good medicine. And he will soon be situated without any doubt in complete perfection. And going back to the second paragraph, Prabhupada mentions there are some who are demonic who think of Krishna but enviously, like Kamsa. He was also thinking of Krishna always, but he thought of Krishna as his enemy. He was always in anxiety, wondering when Krishna would come to kill him. That kind of thinking will not help us. One should be thinking of Krishna in devotional love. That is bhakti. So this chapter is dedicated towards pure bhakti. And this way it is especially the last few verses, it's the middle of the middle. It's the most sweet part of the Bhagavad Gita. All right, so we'll stop now. You have any last questions? Yes? What was that? Last one? Uh-huh. Okay. Oh, I don't know. I'd have to look at the... You're asking me to comment on Ramananda Sambhad, but I'm teaching Bhagavad Gita. I don't know. I'd have to look at that and, you know, check it out. He said that Stane Stita Shuti Katam Tanavan Manobir, that it's higher than Sarvadhamma Purayaja. Higher than Sarvadhamma Purayaja.
Not the highest.
Not the highest, but...
This is nice. Tell me what.
I'd have to look at it first. I haven't seen it for some time. Yes. But, well, like I said, I'd have to look more. I didn't see any comments about Panchopasana in any of the commentaries, except there was one lecture that Prabhupada gave that he mentioned this for this verse. So, I mean, I don't know how much to take, because when you're giving a lecture, you may make some correlated or indirect points. As far as I know, he didn't say that this Jnana Yajna means this, or that the Pratika Upasakas means this kind of Panchopasana people. I'll have to look at that. I didn't have time because I was preparing this. But I'm going to like go back and try to... I mean, as far as I know, Bhurijan Prabhu was teaching this microchip concept, and I accepted it, and I've been teaching that for like 10 years, and people just accept it. So, and at least let us say that, Haribo, the Visharupa Upasakas, that's very clear. That comes immediately after this Bahuda Vishwatomukham, then it goes right into the Hamkratur Hamjagya. I think there's no question about that. That's a very clear connection, parallel. Then the thing about the demigods, the demigod worshippers, there may be different kind of Pratika Upasakas. But Krishna is describing, in that section, the karma Pratika Upasakas. There may be Jnana Pratika Upasakas too. But Krishna is describing the general kind that people usually worship, the demigods, thinking them to be supreme. Right? And the other people in Jnana, they may think that the demigods are just temporary manifestations of the Brahman. as in the Panchapasanas. But that's not clearly defined by anybody that I've seen. And then the other thing about the impersonalists, okay, you know, that's even maybe more broad, because those people who don't accept Krishna's form can be also devotees, it can be karmis and jnanis. But in any case, it means that they're impersonalists. So they may think that I'm Gopal, or they may think that Gopal is just a temporary manifestation, a sattva-gun roop of the Brahma-jyoti. You know, yeah, of course there's different kinds of people, but still they're impersonalists. So I would say that that idea still has merit to it, but the specifics of it may vary slightly, because there's different kinds of impersonalists, there's different kinds of demigod worshippers, and so forth. No, the Prabhupada said that they think that that's the supreme entity of the universe. Prabhupada makes it very simple there. They think that that Vishwarupa is the supreme entity in the universe, and they worship that as the supreme. Yeah, and the other devotees say that they're the least intelligent. Other acharyas I mentioned. Perhaps at that time it was different, because people, they thought that, yeah, I love Gopal and I'm part and parcel of Gopal, I'm also Gopal. It's like just a slight problem. And then you can explain to them, no, actually there's also a difference. And, oh, right. You can, but nowadays it's like, and people say, they say, I'm Bhagavan, you know, I control everything, surrender to me. And it seems like the impersonalists have become even more envious of God and more proud. So it might be some actual historical differences in the time of the type of people that, because someone was asking me, you know, why did Prabhupada have this idea? But nowadays impersonalists are, you know, really, yeah, venomous serpents, and very proud and horrendous people. You know. But in any case, let us just say that this microchip idea is closest with the Vishwarupa. It's applicable to the Pratikopasakas and broadly applicable to the impersonalists. But in either case, you can see that there's definitely, you know, some merit to this idea. And I don't think that we can just toss it completely out the window. I'm willing to do that also, but I'll go back and look at some of the commentaries and see if I can kind of sort it out for you. In any case, that's not like on the examination. It's just these are extracurricular things for you. We're not going to have any, you know, Nishkam Karm Gyana Misha Pradhani Bhuti Bhakti, you know, all of this stuff. This is, the examination is very simple, and we're giving you, you know, 80% more, basically. Why that is? Yeah, right. Maybe not that verse particular doesn't really exhibit any of the components of the Gyan Mishra. There could be because there may be some desire just for self-purification and deliberate, you know, to get delivered by the material energy, something like this. That's all I can see. They didn't really discuss that so much, their comments. Offering the fruits? Yeah, that could be there. Like at the end, Jara Marana Moksha. It's got some. People who want, you know, liberation from this world of suffering. And so that might be there to a certain degree. At least Krishna is maybe seeing that in Arjuna, at least in the drama that they're playing. In the verse itself, there's no indication of that. Does it come in the path of pure bhakti?
Ah, yes, or it's
different. Or?
It's different than pure.
Well, it seems that there's some karma mishra there, because the duties are still being performed. I guess it's possible that that person can be considered pure if he, I mean, like Gaur Mahande, you know, he's doing his duty to his family, but he's very much focused on pure devotion. So it seems that a person who's, you know, categorized in that level could be a pure devotee. Well, in this paradigm, you have sanishta, parinishta, and nirapeksha. So it's not the same as keval mishra and like this, and guni bhuta bhakti, which is actually karma and jnana and yoga. So nirapeksha just means that the person's actually a renunciate and he's not concerned with his swadharma, his occupational duties whatsoever, just fixed. Parinishtita means that he's doing them, but they're not his primary focus.
He has spiritual master or not?
That doesn't, it's not giving such kind of details.
Because pure bhakti one has spiritual master, he does under
I believe that all of them are considered to have a guru, because you can't do bhakti without a guru, any kind of bhakti. So even the sanishta, he's doing bhakti under the guidance of a guru, but he's just more concerned with his work. That's why those people are just recommended just to, you know, offer the fruits of your work, some kind of karma yoga, karma mishra bhakti, because they can't kind of go beyond that. Their interest in bhakti is not strong enough in order to put bhakti as the primary goal, you know, priority of their life. Later that may come, and generally it does. And then there's a general shift, gradual, from sanishta to parinishta. And then when he gets older and his family is finished, then vanaprastha sannyas, then nirapeksha bhakti. So that's more kind of like a kind of time sequence of gradual, like almost like the ashrams in one's life.
Yeah.
It's like they're shooting for they're practicing nirapeksha bhakti. They renounce the world to get material comforts.
I heard that
far more
enjoyable.
They're more subtle, at least, more difficult to get rid of. It seemed that as if they were categorized according to form. There's not much said about that, actually, other than the basic definition. We'd have to look at Jiva Goswami Sandarbhas to go a little bit deeper into that. But in any case, we're practicing nirapeksha, and then if we get married, as a brahmachari gets married, then that means he will go into parinishtita, hopefully, or sanishtita if he's very, very attached. But I would think that generally our devotees, that once they've already been practicing on such a high level, they're not going to drop down to sanishtita bhakti. I would say occupational duties would more refer to varna, you know, their work, instead of just the kind of age group, you know. Because they're brahmacharis and sannyasis, although they're performing some aspects of the ashram life, mainly they're just doing bhakti, bhajan. Because in Daivivarna ashram, or, you know, the ashram is just somewhat supportive in the background, it's not prominent. So it would seem that those who are, you know, those people that are actually working for their livelihood, that means their varna. That's more, it seems to be more the focus or presentation about those who are have their priority to do their swadharma, meaning more like their varna, their occupational duty. Because, I mean, brahmacharis and sannyasis, what do they really have to do? You know, aside from bhakti bhajan, in order to maintain their brahmachari status or their sannyas life, that we're not, you know, our brahmacharis don't perform morning and evening yagyas. We don't have a bunch of fire pits out here for all the brahmacharis, right? And, right, there's, I mean, the traditional activities for the brahmacharis, we don't really do those things. We have our Mangal Arati and our Gaur Arati. That's like, for us, our yagya. Right? Something like this. But it's just bhakti. So that was for everybody. All kinds of devotees, they do this. It's not so much stressed on the ashrams, you know, the duties of the ashrams. Isn't it? It seems that that's... From what I read and understood from this, it's not fully explained, so... Sanishta, he's more attached, he's got to do more of his... Bhakti is on the back burner, Parinishtita, Bhakti is on the front burner, but he still has to perform his worldly activities, his responsibilities. It means they're grihastas. And the nirapekshas, they're renounced persons, whether they're tyagis, sannyasis, or vanaprastas. But anyway, they're retired. They're not working in the world. And they're just doing madhukari or some... They just collect grains from the fields or something like this. It's not the primary goal. They're just doing bhajan. And main thing is they're chanting. But they don't bring it into the picture. Oh, for you, as a brahmachari. But that's the manager. That's not you. Right? You don't come and say, hey, look, come on, you know, I mean, like, I was an accountant before, you know, so you have to engage me like that. I'm not going to do this other thing. I'm not going to do sangratan, and I'm not going to do puja. I'm only going to cook the books. You know, I only work with Ramananda, and that's it. You know, somebody comes like that, what would Radhe Shyam tell him? You know, just go home, you know, right? You know, you don't want to surrender, right? I mean, he may see that, oh, this guy's a really good accountant, you know, let him work with Ramananda or put him in the office there and cook the books all day, you know. So... Right? But it's not that the devotee comes and he presents himself in such a way. That's a different thing, you know. So the brahmachari can't be too much attached to his varna. The varna comes, I mean, there can be some, but very little. The varna comes more into play in the grihastha role, because that person has to make money to maintain his family. So then he has to think, how am I going to work in the world? But the brahmachari doesn't have to think like that. Just let me just do something, and let me just, you know, like I bounced around from so many activities for 14 years, and then finally I started teaching, and that was just an accident. It wasn't that I was like seething, you know, I have to find my varna, you know, somehow, please. You know, it wasn't like something pressing, you know. I was just quite happy just preaching and doing so many different things. So that is how the brahmachari must be. That's the real brahmachari. But it's up to the managers to try to, as much as possible in the given circumstances, to engage people according to their psychophysical nature. But for us, it's not like a big thing, individually, personally. Okay? So don't get hung up about your varna. Don't worry about it. Krishna will sort it out for you in time. Okay? All right, let's stop now. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, and Bhagavad Gita ki, Nitya Gaura Premanandi.